Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Again, Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Verses 38 to 42, Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read that passage one more time. I want you to listen to it loud and clear. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Then looking in the book of Psalms, Psalm 42, beginning at verse 1. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. All of Psalm 42. Thank you, Lord, for all those that are part of our listening family today. And thank you for all those that we've lifted up in prayer. Thank you for Isaac and myself and all those that are part of our listener family as a whole. Lord, today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, right now we confess that we have been distracted. Father, we've spent so much of our time on worldly things and on things that just draw our attention away from you. And Father, in these moments, we choose to spend time with you. Father, help us this day, all of today, to be focused on your presence and your word. Thank you so much for guiding us, for teaching us, and for being so kind and gentle. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Want to remind you of an article that we want to take apart to take time to share in part, but I want to keep reminding you, please do email us to get the articles that we share, because they're meant to be prayer tools, discipleship tools, tools to help strengthen you in your walk with the Lord, tools to help encourage you and strengthen you as you disciple your family, but also tools to forward and share with fellow workers on the job, fellow church members, extended family, just saved and unsaved individuals as well. So please do email us. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Today we're going to take time to share from a portion of the article, Praying Daily for Your Spouse. And as usual, I'll pray the husband's portion, but of course the wife's prayer is pretty much identical, except it's for her spouse, obviously. Let's take time to do that. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the gift my wife, Birdie, is to me, to our family, and to the church, and to the kingdom of God. Lord, bless my wife today indeed. Expand her territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon her. Keep her from evil, that she may not cause pain. In Jesus' name, help me this day, Lord, to be the full blessing to her that you would have me to be. In Jesus' name, Father, fill her today with your joy, peace, grace, and encouragement. Help her to walk in your love, joy, and peace today. Use her to be the supernatural blessing everywhere she goes that you'd have her to be, in Jesus' name. Help her to spend the time in your word and in prayer today that you would have her to, in Jesus' name. Help her this day to put you first in her life. Help her to not make any graven images. Help her to not take your name in vain. Help her to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help her to honor her father and her mother. Help her to value life. Help her to not steal. Help her to not commit adultery. Help her to tell the truth. Help her to not covet, in Jesus' name. Father, empower her this day to fulfill all the call of God upon her life. Help her this day to be the living sacrifice that you'd have her to be, and to walk out your full will for her. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer, and thank you for the gift my wife is to me, to your kingdom, to the body of Christ, to our family, and to all of the world. Lord, today, bless my wife, Birdie, and keep her. Dear Lord, make your face shine upon her. Be gracious to her. Dear Lord, lift up your countenance upon her and give her your peace. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let me say to every husband and wife listening, I really want to stress this. Taking the few minutes to pray this prayer for your spouse is much more productive than you might think. Your spouse needs your prayers. And the fact is, we all live in a tough world, but one very loving and very wise and very productive thing any of us can do for our spouse is to simply take the time to pray a prayer like this one for them. They need it. Yes, they need it. So again, please let us know if you'd like to get a copy. Simply email me at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to send that to you, as well as any of the other prayer tools we share about. The Kingdom Prayers prayer tool and any others or any other articles we've alluded to, please let us know if you'd like to get copies of those, if you would. We were sharing from a passage found in Luke chapter 10, and I read it through twice, but I'm going to take time to read it one more time. And today we're looking at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. Again, our topic for today is having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. Reading that passage one more time, Luke 10, starting at verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen that good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Father, thank you for this time to look at this passage and look at some of the insights behind it. Lord, more and more, open our eyes that we may see wondrous things out of your law. Thank you for all those that are part of our listening family. Anoint the minds, ears, heart, and understanding of all of our listeners so that we each will be abundantly receptive to your word and your will and your spirit. And more and more, empower us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We're going to take time now to share from the article, and don't expect to finish it before we go into the break, but we'll pick up on the other side. But the title of this article is Keep Your Focus on Jesus. Again, keep your focus on Jesus. What has your attention? What are you looking at? What is occupying the stage of your mind? What do you spend time thinking about, mulling over, reading, researching, and giving consideration to? Is it what's in the news? The headlines, the matters that news commentators are discussing, are these the issues and matters that consume your time and attention? Cell phones, laptops, iPads, and video games all transport people into their own private worlds. People are therefore often oblivious to, or at least highly distracted from, the immediate world that they are in physically at the moment, scrolling, scrolling, scrolling along. Topics, issues, events, tragedies, and celebrities often grab and hold the attention of many in our culture, world, and even church. Electronic devices, gadgets, and the desire to get the latest version too often seem to command and quote-unquote control much of our time and our lives. In Luke 10, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, we find an interesting story in the life of Jesus about a distracted person. The Lord Jesus is visiting in the home of Mary and Martha. As many would expect, Martha is busy carrying out the responsibilities that a hostess would normally be expected to do for guests, probably cooking, cleaning, and the like. However, her sister Mary was sitting down at the feet of Jesus, listening to him and paying attention to what he had to say. Who was distracted, Martha or Mary? Well, the Word of God gives the answer very plainly. It says in verse 40, "But Martha was distracted." To be distracted is to have your mind and attention pulled away from the more important thing or things at hand that need to be paid attention to. The scripture in this passage lets us know that Mary is acting more wisely than Martha. Mary is commended and not Martha in this situation. We're reading from an article entitled "Keep Your Focus on Jesus." We can pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. We'll be right back.
Blessed are the heavy hearted, in need of you.
Rebecca St. James with Kingdom Come. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. And I was specifically sharing from an article entitled, Keep Your Focus on Jesus. And we'll beginning it again one more time. Keep your focus on Jesus. What has your attention? What are you looking at? What is occupying the stage of your mind? What do you spend time thinking about, mulling over, reading, researching, and giving consideration to? Is it what's in the news? The headlines, the matters that news commentators are discussing, are these the issues and matters that consume your time and attention? Cell phones, laptops, iPads, and video games all transport people into their own private worlds. People are therefore often oblivious to, or at least highly distracted from, the immediate world they're in physically at the moment, scrolling along. Topics, issues, events, tragedies, and celebrities often grab and hold the attention of many in our culture, our world, and even in the church. Electronic devices, gadgets, and the desire to get the latest version too often seem to command and control much of our time and lives. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, we find an interesting story in the life of Jesus about a distracted person. He is visiting in the home of Martha and Mary. As many would expect, Martha is busy carrying out the responsibilities that a hostess would typically be expected to do for guests, probably cooking, cleaning, and the like. However, her sister Mary was sitting down at the feet of Jesus, listening to him And who was distracted, Martha or Mary? The Word of God gives the answer very plainly and clearly. It says in verse 40, but Martha was distracted. To be distracted is to have your mind and attention pulled away from the more important thing or things. The scripture in this passage lets us know that Mary is acting more wisely than Martha in this situation. Mary is commended, not Martha, in this particular matter. Mary is acting wisely as she makes it her priority to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. But Martha was distracted. In other words, Martha's mind and thinking were not focused on the more important thing in this situation, which was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, learning from him, and simply spending time with him in his presence. A simple yet profound truth found in this humble yet powerful story is this. Spending time with God and seeking his wisdom is to be one of the high priorities of the life of a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Once we are saved, our most important goal in life is to faithfully and diligently run after God. Just how do we do that? You run after God by sitting at his feet every day. We sit at the feet of Jesus by living a lifestyle of spending time daily reading and meditating on the Bible, the Word of God, by spending significant time in prayer, and by obeying what we read and receive from God. Knowing and following him is living a lifestyle of faith. We're told in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Why don't we seek to be wise like Mary? Why don't we make it a goal to have a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus daily? Let's run after him by sitting at his feet, listening, learning, growing, and following. If we're not careful, we can allow the world to set our agenda and our priorities as we listen to what it decides are the headlines of our times. If we focus and concentrate on what the world is focused on, we can miss God's voice, his priorities, and his agenda. We can be living distracted lives and not realize it at all. As we live at the feet of Jesus, we will not live a distracted life. We'll not live a life full of wasting time reading and learning about men who want to be women and people who want to change colors, what celebrities are wearing at a given event, who won the latest game. Instead, at Jesus' feet, he can teach us what's important and what is not. He can teach us what is true and what is false. There he can teach us what's right and what is wrong. There we learn about what is in the heart of God. And know that staying focused on God-ordained priorities is not just important, it's crucial. Seek to develop spiritual habits that help you to focus on God. Make them a part of your daily life. Read 3 chapters in the Bible every day. Pray daily. Pray the Lord's Prayer daily. Pray the 10 Commandments daily. Praying about important issues in life. Obey what you learn from the Word of God. Spiritual habits help you keep your focus on Christ and the will of the Lord. Watch out for the weapons of mass distraction in our world. They seem to be everywhere. Learn to focus your time, energy, and concern on what is important. Spend time every day running after the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't waste your time. Wasted time is wasted life. Sit at the feet of Jesus every day and let him set your agenda daily rather than the world. Again, the title of that article is Keep Your Focus on Jesus. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get a copy to you. Isaac, did you have something you wanted to jump in and share?
Sure. First off, I've had this thought with this that I think could be helpful. So in my mind, knowledge does better at teaching while experience does better at training. Mm-hmm. So we can learn about something, but whenever we start tangibly feeling something, our understanding of it gets better. And I think something that we understand is generally going to win out above something that we know. So how do we apply that to this? Well, let's say we're just telling you we need to spend time with Jesus. That's good. But let's look at the experiences of the people that Jesus is spending time with. Does Jesus ever tell somebody that he doesn't have enough time for them? Or what do we see him, what do we see in his interactions with people? Because, like, he only had 3 years to save the entire world. Mm-hmm. He only had 3 years to do one of the biggest mission trips, the biggest mission trip in all of history. Mm-hmm. And in those 3 years, with how much he had to do of teaching and educating and all of this stuff, how do we see him rushing through or not rushing through in his interactions? Do you have some people or experiences that you can think of him interacting with people like Zacchaeus or whoever else?
You know, Isaac, you make a powerful point. It appears that Jesus did not seem rushed in any setting, and he would make time for people. And many times, which it looks like people kind of are pulling him off schedule, but he would take the time. So that's a powerful point.
So if we have Jesus making his time and him always having enough time, and if he's walking with the Holy Spirit and getting equipped by God himself to accomplish his purposes because he is God himself in the flesh, then how much time is he giving us to accomplish God's purposes? How much time is God giving us to spend time with him? Can our schedules ever get more powerful than God's control of time? I don't think so. I really don't think so.
That's again, you make some powerful points to consider there. And, you know, I think it was Martin Luther who he made a very beautiful and a powerful illustration. I'm not quoting him, but basically it seemed, at one point he indicated that I have a very busy day today, so I need to spend more time in prayer with God. And what a wise perspective. Because God in the power of his Holy Spirit can help us to be the ultimate believer who maximizes their time as we learn to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. So instead of us being caught up and I got to get all this stuff done, is go to God, spend time with God and find out his priorities, go after what he wants us to go after, and he'll help us to be wise stewards of our time.
So on yesterday's broadcast, we encouraged people to go and find quiet places, to go find nature-filled places, to just spend time with the Holy Spirit, contemplating the Word of God, and just looking at creation and seeing the Creator through creation. Mm-hmm. We do see Jesus getting really fatigued in his mission work. We mm-hmm. see him exhausted at times. We see him so stressed that he sweats blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. But somehow in the midst of that, him, Jesus, being that stressed, can still be in the presence of God full of peace. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that we should take this as you've got to drop all your responsibilities all the time, every day, but that there will be times where responsibilities become a distraction, and there will be other times where God wants to spend time with you in the midst of your responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just probably, I guess, just growing more mature as we learn the difference between those.
Mm-hmm. More and more, you know, such a big part of the Christian life is listening and obeying. Listening to God and obeying. And we listen to God primarily by his word and his Holy Spirit. But we listen to God, and we're to get our agenda and our priorities from the word and the Spirit of God. Whereas how tragic it is that sometimes you have people that say, you know, say they love the Lord and know Jesus, but they maybe spend days and don't get into the Word of God, or maybe days that didn't pray. What a tragedy, because we're missing out on direction from our commander in chief.
Absolutely. And I think that gets to the last note I had, mm-hmm. that in all of these biblical experiences where Jesus took the time to spend with these people, he says in the book of John that I have to go so another may come, so that the Holy Spirit can come. So I and the Holy Spirit are one. And then at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down and the disciples realize Jesus is back again in the Holy Spirit. He is mm-hmm. present with us. And how real of an experience would that have been for them to have been having conversations with Jesus days prior? Like, not that long prior. What would it been? 43 days before, isn't it? Because it's 40 days. I don't remember how many days it is.
50 days.
50 days? Okay. So mm-hmm. That's not very long to go from having a conversation with Jesus to having the Holy Spirit to have a conversation with. Mm-hmm. So how tangible and real of an experience would that have been of spending time with Jesus? Mm-hmm. And I think that reality of he was present with them and he is present with us now, I think we need to spend time practicing that to get better, a better feel of it, a better experience of it, to understand it more.
Well, you know, one thing that comes to my mind is that, like, you know, we see in Scripture people that God used mightily were people that spent time in his presence. You look at some of the towering figures in Scripture, Moses, David, and even I think of, for example, one person that doesn't get a whole lot of press, you might say, or not a whole lot of space in Scripture, but again, is apparently unique, is Enoch. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. And then one day he went walking and God just took him. But the key is he was in close communion with God. And a goal and a calling for every believer is to walk intimately with God, no matter who you are, where you live, what your circumstances are. God is calling us to be intimate with him. Father, thank you for the opportunity for us to be intimate with you. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us to learn to walk every day in a prayer mode, in talking and communion with you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. We'll be right back.
Consume my heart with your love. You have captured my heart, consume my heart with your love. You have captured,
you have captured my heart,
consume,
consume my heart with your love.
Say
you have captured my heart, consume my heart with your love.
Say it like you mean it. Timothy, say you have captured.
You have captured
my heart.
My heart,
consume,
consume
my heart.
My heart with your love.
One more time, say
you have captured my heart, consume my heart with your love.
And if all I say is
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
that's more than enough. If all I say is
Jesus, 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 that's more than enough.
All I say is
Jesus, 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 that's more than enough.
If all I say is
Jesus, 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 that's more than enough.
The music of Dunstan Oyekan with If All I Say Is Jesus. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. And again, this is a passage I would encourage and challenge every believer to take time to go back and read over it. It's just right at about five verses again, verses 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, okay? Just a few verses, but read it and then read it again and read it again. Read and meditate on it, because listen to the insight and the wisdom. And interesting, the Lord Jesus packs a whole lot of wisdom in these few verses. Martha and Mary are both believers, both love the Lord. But one thing that is very clearly pointed out is a matter of priorities here. Martha was a busy person. And, you know, it can be good to be busy, but it's important that we keep our priorities straight. One of the high and great priorities of every believer is spending time in our intimate walk with God, spending time reading and meditating on Scripture. That means serious disciples are never to get so busy that we just don't have time for Scripture or that we don't have time to pray, or we don't have time to do what the Lord told us to do. Our priority in life is to know Jesus, to walk with him, and do what he tells us. So that means time in the Word is one of the highest priorities in our lives. Time in prayer, one of the highest priorities of our life. Time in obedience, one of the highest priorities of our lives. So again, note here, Martha and Mary both loved the Lord. Both of them were in relationship with him. But clearly, Jesus tells us an important truth to recognize. Staying in close fellowship relationship with him is one of the high priorities, if not the high priority, of the life of a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Mary again. She's not standing at the door getting ready to go in and help Martha. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. She's literally sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. And I want to challenge you and encourage you with this thought. You could say, in a sense, God calls all of us to be in school at his feet. Live and allow him to mold and shape us. Remember, when you're reading the Word of God, you're spending time directly with Jesus. He's talking to you, but he's not just giving you information. He's pouring grace and peace and power into your life. Also, think of it this way. The Holy Spirit, who is the hand of God, is reaching inside of you, reaching and molding and shaping you more and more to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Your time in God's Word is time for God and the Spirit of God to work on you, to mold and shape you and empower you to be more like him. So the more you spend time in the Word of God, the more Jesus has time to work on you, to make you more like him. The more we spend time in prayer, that's more time for the Holy Spirit to have direct dealing with us in the world. And keep in mind, I want you to think about the fact that often the opposite is true when we do the opposite. For example, when we neglect time in the Word of God and we spend a lot of time and energy watching and listening to the news or watching movies or TV. Again, not saying all of it is bad, but clearly notice this. When you're spending time in the Word of God and in prayer, that's time the Holy Spirit has to work on your heart and your mind. When we're spending time giving time and energy to the world, who has access to you then? Especially if it's something that is bad for you. Much of television is poison. Much of television and movies and video games is toxic. So just like time in the Word is time for the Holy Spirit to work on you, many times when we're caught up and highly distracted by things in the world, that's the opportunity for the devil and the kingdom of darkness to work on you to make you more and more into its image, to think and act and carry ourselves more like the world rather than like Christ. Where are our priorities? Our priorities need to be in the Word of God and the will of God. Remember, the Holy Spirit's all about ministry. Ministry is simply doing the work and the will of God. So the more we spend time with God and the more we spend time at Jesus' feet, the more he can mold and shape us. But also a big part of it is he's getting a chance to download guidance and counsel and direction and information about things we need to know about, assignments he's giving us. Again, remember, God is a God of assignments. God gives out many assignments, actually on a daily basis. But tragically, there are many instances where God is giving out assignments, and sometimes he has people that are not listening. They're just not listening then. So, Isaac, you had something you wanted to share.
Yeah, relating to your assignments, it just made me think of the book of Revelation, whenever Jesus separates and says, like, you never clothed me, you never fed me. And then to the others, he says, you clothed me, you fed me. He takes our ministry to other people personally. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, we see that back to Genesis, man is made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we love those who are made in the image of God, we are loving God himself. Mm-hmm. Whenever we're spending time with people made in the image of God, it's like we're spending time with God himself, mm-hmm. because of who they're made after. And so he calls us on these many mission works, on these many things of just spending time with people, of making sure that they have the provisions that they need, of sitting with them and walking with them through their struggles, because as we do that, we're honoring who they're made after.
Very much so, very much so. We're wise to see ourselves as missionaries on mission every day. You know, as opposed to, well, sometimes a believer may say, I once went on a mission trip 3 years ago and we had fun and we slept on the floor and we ate this and we sacrificed this and that. I'm glad that's over. As opposed to understanding we're to live that way every day because God has assignments and directions. Again, we're literally to be missionaries on mission absolutely every day of our lives.
And so as we see Mary spending that attention focus on Jesus, mm-hmm. that should be our mindset, not just for spending time with the Holy Spirit, but mm-hmm. for spending time with others as well.
Very much so. Very much so. And, you know, I think of this too. Think of some of the fruit in Mary's life too. At a certain point in time, Jesus came back to visit in the home of Martha and Mary. And there, Mary broke an alabaster box of expensive ointment over Jesus. And the disciples thought, what a waste. But Jesus commended her. And one might say, well, how did Mary know and understand to even do that? Mary did that for the burial of Jesus. It appears Mary grasped something, that Jesus has to die. That I'm not sure the disciples really grasped it at that point. But see, because she spent time in the presence of Jesus, she could take an assignment and carry it out and be used of God in a wonderful way that sometimes others may miss completely because they haven't spent the time in the presence of the Lord. Now, Isaac, I want to share something too. Interesting, some scholars think this Mary was Mary Magdalene as well. Now, some think it was and some think it was not. But if so, remember, Mary is the first one to carry the gospel to the world that he is risen. Why would she be chosen for an assignment like that? Again, when you spend time in the presence of God, God can give you assignments that he can entrust to you that he may not be able to entrust to others.
It makes me think of Jesus whenever he gets anointed. The entirety of Jesus' ministry starts with the words, "This is my son, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Mm. John constantly in his book refers to himself as the beloved disciple. Mm-hmm. You could say, well, he's really self-conceited, or he could be saying that the most important thing about me is who I am loved by.
Mm-hmm.
And in both of those situations of this is who I'm loved by, that just in my mind runs a parallel along the same path of this is who I'm spending time with.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems so similar.
And you know, that a powerful point, Isaac, to consider. You know, John was the disciple, you know, they call him the beloved disciple, but keep in mind the fact is I don't think it was Jesus had favorites. It's just it appears John made it his priority to stay close to Jesus in a unique way. Again, he just in John chapter 21, it tells of how that even when Jesus spends time with the disciples after he's risen from the dead, even when Jesus pulls Peter aside and has a separate moment with him, John's right behind them. John just doesn't want to get far from Jesus. And also keep in mind, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the only disciple that came to the cross was John. The rest of them were in hiding. So the fact is, John made it a point to stay close. And when you stay close, God can give you assignments that he doesn't. He assigned, basically entrusted his mother to John. Well, John was the only disciple at the cross, you know. So you might say, well, who else was there for him to entrust him to as far as the 12 disciples? And also, on the Isle of Patmos, when the world might have said, well, we couldn't kill John, so we're going to send him off to the Isle of Patmos. He won't be able to do anything there. Well, he's there, and God uses him to give the world the book of Revelation. So staying close to God, God can trust us with assignments that others may not get to trust with because we were close and listening.
And somehow, in the midst of all that John did from him staying close, mm-hmm. Mary stayed close in that moment, and it seems like she was the one that Jesus appeared to first, right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly, yeah.
From staying close to him in those moments.
Staying intimate. So the challenge and the encouragement to every believer is, like Mary, live a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus, spending time in his word and in prayer. Stay close, stay intimate, and there God will both bless you, mold and shape you, and use you more and more for his glory. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've today been looking at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. Again, if you'd like to get copies of the articles that we shared, the first one that we shared, praying daily for your spouse, and the other one, again, We're glad to get copies of both of those for you as well. Keeping your focus on Jesus. Again, joseph@afr.net is that email. Again, joseph@afr.net. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is a good day to get saved. If you're not saved, you want to get saved, because again, that's how we get to spend all eternity with the Lord. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to live my life following you. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to obey your word every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Let me remind you, again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Email us, please. We want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please definitely get in touch with us again, joseph@afr.net. Allow us to get that information to you again, joseph@afr.net. And the two articles, again, if you'd like to get copies of one or both of those, the first one is Praying Daily for Your Spouse, and the second one, Keep Your Focus on Jesus. Same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get them both to you. Again, our topic for today, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.